From WXXI News, this is Education Friday on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in January, when Finger Lakes Community College opened a new viticulture and wine center. In that facility, you'll find a teaching winery, a winemaking lab, a crush pad, classroom space, and a teaching vineyard, among other things. This is the class you probably wish you could have taken in college, and actually, you still can if you really want to. We're going to talk about that coming up. The Viticulture and Wine Technology program at Finger Lakes Community College has continued to grow, attracting new talent and really creating a pipeline to the Finger Lakes wine industry. This hour, we're getting that education from the man in charge of the program. Paul Brock is an accomplished winemaker, a highly regarded track record at Ravine's Lamoureux Landing Winery on Seneca Lake, and now at his own winery, he and his wife have Silver Thread, also on Seneca Lake. He's going to give us a kind of one-hour course in viticulture and wine technology with the help of some of his former students as well. So my guests for the hour include Paul Brock, the program coordinator of the Viticulture and Wine Technology program at FLCC. Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
Also with us in studio is Andy Hawk, a student at Cornell now and a graduate of the FLCC Viticulture and Wine Technology program 2 years ago now, Andy?
2 years.
2 years. So we're going to talk about your experience coming up. Tori Franco is here, the assistant winemaker at Lamoureux Landing and a graduate of the program.
Yes, recently graduated in May.
All right, very good. Congratulations on that. And on the line with us is Devin Showmaker, the proprietor of Rooftop Reds. Where are you calling from, Devin? Are you there? I feel like I can't hear. Devin, if you're hearing us, we can. How about this? Our engineer is going to fix the connection. And we'll bring Devin.
I'm sorry about that. My cheek must have hit the mute button.
Oh,
sorry.
There you are. See, it was your fault. It wasn't ours. But that's okay. That's all right, Devin. I never throw my engineer under the bus. He's the best. Devin, tell us where you're calling from.
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York. What is Rooftop Reds?
Rooftop Reds is the first commercially viable rooftop vineyard in New York City and in the United States.
And you were at FLCC's Viticulture and Wine Technology program when?
Yeah, I graduated last May and have been down in New York City since the point.
All right, so Devin's down in New York City. Later this hour, we're going to hear from someone who graduated from the program who's out in Oregon. We've got Tori Franco at Lamoureux Landing. Andy is still at Cornell. Paul, you've got graduates essentially all over the place, don't you?
They're spreading out all over the place. I've got graduates overseas. I've got graduates here in the Finger Lakes, around the Northeast. And from Long Island all the way to Erie at this point. So the further the program goes along, I anticipate having people working all over the place. We've got at least, Mike included, two full-time positions on the West Coast, one in California and one in Oregon, and other people who are aspiring to do that. So
okay, and the program opened when?
It started in the fall of 2009. I started working there in middle of 2010 to teach the first full year of the second year of the program. We've had 5 graduating classes now, and they've ranged from size of 4 people to 15 people. And we're generally bordering between 10 and 15 people in the past several years. And I anticipate that number going up as more people hear about the viticulture center that we have and the vineyard that we also have. So
you have around 50 graduates so far, something like that?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Any idea how it breaks down? How many are sort of making their way? If they're staying in wine, are they moving primarily into the Finger Lakes? Is it kind of how does it break down so far?
Yeah, that's a great point, because not all of our graduates stay in viticulture and wine technology. Of the 50, I would say 30 of them are still in the area doing something, and about 20 of them have left, and some of them might come back. But I always encourage, especially the younger students, to get out and learn about another region after they graduate, and a lot of them have done that. So it's very exciting, whether if they go to the West Coast or overseas.
So this is a pretty quickly building track record. I mean, we're talking about a program that opened in 2009. The new center opened in January. And sometimes you talk to people in the industry, Paul Brock, and they kind of say, well, now we've got our East Coast UC Davis. Is that too much pressure? For our listening audience who isn't familiar with UC Davis, what's UC Davis, Paul?
Well, UC Davis is a premier viticulture and wine education spot in the in the United States. It's in Northern California.
Yep.
And frankly, we are not UC Davis. We you know, Cornell is the UC Davis of the East Coast, and Cornell University. And, you know, funny story is, when I decided to get a master's degree, I said, in viticulture and wine and winemaking, I said, I'm going to get a master's degree at UC Davis because that's the best place. So I went out to UC Davis and said, I want to get a master's degree here, then I want to go have a winery in the Finger Lakes. And I met with five of the faculty there. Two of them said, well, you should be at Cornell if you want to have a winery in the Finger Lakes. So that was, you know, start of my path. But since I'm here, there is no technical school. There was no technical school in the Finger Lakes feeding workers into the Finger Lakes wine industry. And that's really the place that Finger Lakes Community College fits, is a two-year program that trains people to be either in the vineyard or in the winery, and in this climate. So you can go to a technical university in California and get a similar degree, but they're going to talk to you about warm wine, grape growing and winemaking, versus here, we're teaching you cool climate stuff that is applicable to our region.
And here you are now with this kind of a pipeline. Tori Franco, I'll start with you, the assistant winemaker at Lamoureux. You got that job when?
I started at Lamoureux Landing in February.
I mean, did Paul pull any strings for you, having his former connections at Lamoureux?
I'm sure it definitely helped.
Paul's
no
been
strings.
In a number of places. Paul, I mentioned Ravines, Lamoureux Landing for a good number of years.
Yeah, 2 years, 2.5 years.
But felt like longer.
It's a good time.
Silver Thread, yep. your winery that you and Shannon own,
yep.
Which was, of course, started by Richard Fiegel for many years, but you've been in charge of Silver Thread for how long?
This will be my fifth vintage there. So we started in the vintage of 2011.
For our listeners, if you see these kind of wines in the wine shop, Paul is a tremendous winemaker. So you have someone who's running this program who's making outstanding wines. He's got connections, so maybe he's helping out people like Tori.
Yeah.
And how's it going? How's the experience so far?
It's going great so far. I feel like Finger Lakes definitely put me in the right path to be where I want to be. I enjoy working in the laboratory mostly, but I'm getting a lot of hands-on cellar work as well.
So what's the long-term goal for you in wine?
Long-term goal, I'd like to be a head winemaker, maybe eventually own my own winery, possibly partner up with my father, you know, and see what we could do.
Lose a lot of money.
Yep.
I'm mostly kidding. No, I joke. I admire anybody who gets into the restaurant business, agriculture, and wine. It is remarkable. It's competitive. There's a lot of capital involved. It's difficult, but you seem to love it.
Oh, I do.
What's your background? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Gowanda, New York, which is near the Fredonia area. I got a bachelor's of science degree in athletic training from SUNY Cortland, and I worked 2 years in the Hudson Valley area. And around that time, I kind of decided I want to try something new. I got into winemaking at home, and I saw the Finger Lakes program, and I immediately applied to the program, got in, and that's kind of where it started.
Realistically, Tori, if you hadn't had this opportunity relatively close to home, if this program didn't exist here, do you think you would have gotten into viticulture and wine technology?
Probably not. It was definitely convenient. It's kind of a halfway path between home and where I was living. So it definitely made it easier for me to get into the industry.
Most people who end up in wine started in athletic training. So do you feel, you know, what was the biggest challenge for you in sort of picking this up as a career?
The biggest challenge for me was definitely getting more into the chemistry. And that's kind of a turnoff to me in the beginning, but I've grown to really like it now. And that's kind of what I want to focus more on.
The chemistry.
The chemistry, yep.
And you mentioned even liking being in the lab.
I do. I really
mean, you
enjoy
could
it.
Go back in time and your former self would never believe this.
No, absolutely not.
How was he as a student, Paul Brock?
Tori was a very good student. Actually, Tori and Devin both were president of the Viticulture Club. That is a student organization that the viticulture students are a part of. And, you know, generally the president of the organization that at least a decent student, so both Devin and Tori, we'll give them at least that much credit.
Okay, well, Andy Hawks here. Andy is a student at Cornell now, graduated a couple years ago from FLCC's program. And what's your path now? What would you like to do in wine?
Well, first I want to finish the program at Cornell.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's a good start.
Which, as I understand, is always a challenge. I'm actually not exactly sure what I want to do. You know, when they hand you your degree, they don't hand you a winery, oddly enough.
That's true, Paul. You don't.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can just jump in and pick up a winery. But have you thought now, after you get out of Cornell, what has the FLCC program sort of, if you decide to stay in the industry, what do you feel, you know, is well suited for your talents now?
So I'm in an internship right now that's actually a marketing internship mm-hmm. for the Finger Lakes Wine Lab. And I think I really enjoy supporting the wine industry, sort of a larger picture role, maybe. I'm thinking of maybe going either into marketing for mm-hmm. the wine industry or for a specific winery, maybe.
Now, this is interesting because Paul Brock, sometimes in whatever the industry, sometimes the PR person doesn't have direct experience of the actual working knowledge of that. And sometimes that shows in a news release and or the way they communicate with the media. So I imagine if Andy ends up in communications even for wine or some sort of a support role, the basic working knowledge of how the science works is probably huge.
It's a very powerful tool to have when you're in the marketing side of things, to understand the ins and outs of how the grapes affect the wine or how the winemaking affects the wine, because you can see right through it if you know a little bit about wine when somebody's trying to sell you something that's not really true or could be true.
Right.
So, you know, the fact that Andy might take that path, she's not the first one of my students to go that way. And, you know, it's always interesting to see people kind of decide which path to go down, whether it be viticulture or winemaking. And, you know, I often have people who start and say, I'm going to do winemaking. And then viticulture kind of gets their attention, or they'll say, I want to do viticulture, vice versa. The ones that interest me most are the ones that are so passionate about one or the other and then switch when they have an internship of doing the other. And then, you know, when you see, okay, well, maybe that's not for me. Maybe I don't want to do all that work. And then they say, well, there's other things I can do in this industry.
I always think and no offense to our friends in public relations in Rochester or the Finger Lakes, maybe you're listening on WEOS 89.5 FM in the Finger Lakes, and we're proud to have that great partnership with them and our friends at Hobart and William Smith. Wherever you are, if you're in public relations, I tend to think the best came from a journalism background, because now they're working with journalists and they kind of get it. So maybe Andy ends up in some kind of wine communications, but you've got that base knowledge. What was the hardest part, by the way, in the lab or in the classrooms with Paul on the science side? What challenged you the most?
I think following procedure in the lab properly was always a bit of a challenge. The lab is... it's tricky. Chemistry is tricky anyway.
Were you making unclean wines?
No, never. No. Sometimes it takes a couple of tries to get it right.
Yeah. Well, let me ask Devin Showmaker, proprietor of Rooftop Reds, who's on the line with us and benefited from this program. For you, Devin, Rooftop Reds, is that a long term? What's your future in wine?
Yeah, it's definitely my long term in the wine industry. Right now I'm building, obviously, a vineyard, but also a brand, and we have just released our first commercial vintage as well from our production partner on Keuka Lake in the Finger Lakes region. So we have a lot going on right now. I don't really honestly know where to start sometimes when I talk about Rooftop Reds, but definitely being in the FLCC program gave me a great insight into the industry, allowed me to build a robust network in the Finger Lakes, and has allowed me to launch Rooftop Reds. Within a year of being out of this program, I have my own vineyard, and we're about to open up to the public in the largest wine market, arguably, in the world.
Devin, we heard Tori Franco talk about the fact that if the FLCC program, the Viticulture and Wine Technology program, was not there, he probably doesn't end up in wine. That it was sort of regionally convenient. He's from this region, and it really mm-hmm. worked for him. Tell me about your background. Where are you from, and how did you end up in the industry?
Yeah, I'm from right outside of Washington, D.C. Arlington, Virginia is where I grew up. I got my bachelor's in marketing at George Mason University, which is in Fairfax, Virginia. So I definitely searched out viticulture programs, and through mutual family friends and people that were actually from the Finger Lakes area, they turned me on to FLCC. They turned me on to this viticulture and wine technology program. Its success and job retention rate coming out of the program were very attractive to me. and kind of made a leap of faith and went from a, you know, urban city background and standpoint of growing up to getting my hands in the soil up in the Finger Lakes and working in the vineyards and working in the cellars and learning about the wine industry, which, you know, compared to maybe Tori or Andy, I knew very little about coming into this program.
So here's a nice contrast with Tori, who's from the region, makes a decision because there's something that is sort of convenient and is highly regarded and is within reach. Devin is not mm-hmm. from here originally. And Paul Brock, I'm curious to know, now that you've had around 50 graduates, anywhere from 4 in a class to 15, what's the breakdown, sort of a rough hand breakdown of how many of your students are from, would you say, regionally or from the area, and how many are not?
Most are from the area,
yep.
Or from a nearby wine region. So I would say 75% at least are from the area. And if you're including, you know, Rochester's the area, people who have never been in a vineyard, it probably goes up to about 80-85%. It's always interesting that first VIT 100 class we have where we get them into a vineyard, and I look around at the looks of amazement and the wide eyes on the students' faces. And I always ask afterwards, how many people was that their first experience in a vineyard? And there's always a handful of people. That's the first time they've ever stepped foot in a vineyard. So often I wonder, how did you possibly get interested? And that's always one of my first questions to new students that haven't taken any classes yet is, why are you interested in this?
I figured your first thing you do is have them wash barrels and tanks.
Well, that comes down the line. I don't want to scare them away that quick.
On the first day. No, we are in the second half hour of this program. I am going to ask Paul and with the help of the students, give us a kind of a crash course, because I'm curious what VIT 100 is, but also the progression, because I think a lot of our listening audience, most of our listening audience, will never take viticulture and wine technology. But it is a fascinating subject to learn. How do you go through a progression of courses, and how has it been built at Finger Lakes Community College? And do you view it, Paul, as a growing stamp of success that people like Devin Showmaker they're not from directly right here in the Finger Lakes, and they're looking around and they're making a choice, because Devin could have gone somewhere else and he looks around and this is the choice.
Yeah, it always humbles me when anybody puts their future in my hands, which is my job as a professor, but that doesn't, you know, let me get over that really quickly. You know, when I stand in front of a new group of students, those are people that are relying on me to teach them something and give them a skill. So, you know, it amazes me when I see anybody go out and do something that's successful, whether it be in the industry or not, if they're using some of the knowledge that they gained when they're around me or some of the problem-solving skills that they were able to learn about.
Devin Showmaker, proprietor of Rooftop Reds. Now that you're down in, as you say, the biggest market for wine in the world, and you've had this experience in the Finger Lakes, but not from here originally, what's your take on how your market, New York City, reacts to wines from the Finger Lakes?
I think it's really opening up. Still think it has a long way to go, and that's on many, many fronts. That could be just bottle imaging, kind of getting the message to New York City wine shop owners, restaurateurs, about what varietals we are focusing in on and maturing as a wine region. So I think there's a lot of progress. I think there's a long way to go to really, you know, making this short bridge between the Finger Lakes wine region and New York City, and having New York City urban dwellers really support their state and what their state is doing concerning high-quality wine production.
Devin, we're going to lose you around the half-hour mark, so I do want to ask you a little bit about your own class experience at Finger Lakes Community College and their viticulture and wine technology program, especially as you say you enter the program with maybe a very small baseline of information and knowledge about how the process works. What was the biggest surprise to you when you got into the program?
A lot of people have asked me this, and it really wasn't the challenge of viticulture or enology in the coursework and taking on, you know, a whole new knowledge bank to try to master as much as possible in the 2-year program. The thing that really struck me was the farmers' community in the Finger Lakes. You know, it's kind of the birthplace, you know, one of the birthplaces in New York State for farm winery licenses and small production. And it's really a working community. I really enjoyed that aspect of the Finger Lakes, how it was very collaborative, how it wasn't, you know, closed-door policy, how, you know, farmers shared harvesters, how if machines broke down, you know, there was a helping hand that came to their aid. And I think it's just a good model for small producers, for small business owners to use, to collaborate, to grow their brands, and to work together. As a smart man told me one time, all ships rise in the tide. And I think that's a great policy for small business owners to take on.
Devin, I always thought about wine, the biggest surprise for people who are not in wine is just how, if it looks romantic from the outside, how utterly unromantic the actual labor that goes into creating a bottle of wine is. What do you think the biggest misconception the public has now that you've gone through this program, you're working in this industry? What does most of the public maybe not understand about wine?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head of what Rooftop Reds is trying to illuminate for New York City and urban dwellers. It's you know, the whole process from grape to bottle. That's what we're trying to bring in. There's a lot of urban winemakers. There's a lot of urban wineries that are sourcing fruit, doing productions in urban spaces. But we are the first to go from cradle to grave, for no lack of a better term, showing a complete view of what it takes to grow quality grapes and produce quality product. So I think that's what the general public doesn't see. Just like Paul said, you know, there's always a amount of kids or students, I shouldn't say kids, that are in Viticulture 101 that have never stepped foot in a vineyard. And I think that's, for the most part, the majority of the public. Maybe they've been to a tasting room. Maybe they've been even to an urban winery. Maybe they've gone to Napa Valley, but they haven't really experienced the vineyard. They haven't experienced viticulture practices, and I think that is a huge opportunity.
Devin Schoemaker, proprietor of Rooftop Reds. Where can people learn more about Rooftop Reds and maybe find Rooftop Reds?
Right. Well, we're having our launch party July 22nd in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. You can go to www.rooftopreds.com. We just revamped our whole website. And we will be promoting our events once they come online in about mid-August. So about mid-August, we will open up the Rooftop Vineyard to the public, host events, host happy hours, have educational seminars. We're working with Brooklyn Youth on an internship program. We're also working with some nonprofits, specifically services for the underserved, doing an apprenticeship program with individuals with mental disabilities, helping them learn some viable skills and hopefully creating some jobs in the wine industry.
Devin Schoemaker, Rooftop Reds, rooftopreds.com. Congratulations on the success so far, and thanks for sharing your insight with us about the program that maybe sent you on your way. Thanks, Devin.
Thank you.
Well, that is a great endorsement so far of the program, and we're going to get a short break, and we're going to come back to talk to our panel about, if you're just joining us, we're talking about Finger Lakes Community College and the Viticulture and Wine Technology Program that launched in 2009, and the arrival in 2010 of Paul Brock, who has been an accomplished winemaker himself in the region, and took on the job of teaching and really running this program at Finger Lakes Community College. He is doing, I can tell you, he's doing remarkable work, and you're seeing some of the results of that. We're going to learn more about what the program's all about in our next half hour. Stay with us. I'm Evan Dawson. Monday on The Next Connections, you might have heard that presidential candidate Jeb Bush said Americans need to work longer hours. Hillary Clinton and the labor community have hammered him for it. He says the real point is that too many people are forced to work part-time when they want full-time hours. How to change that? Were his remarks off the mark? Or was he right? Our panel debates it. Talk to you Monday.
Hello, I'm Ken Glazer, honorary co-chair for WXXI's Go Public campaign. Each day, I turn to WXXI for news programming that engages and challenges me. It's important that we keep local, independent journalism strong in Rochester. Please join me in support of the Go Public campaign. Make a gift online at wxxi.org/gopublic. And thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Connections Education Friday. The classes that you wish you could have taken in our series today has alighted upon a very popular and still relatively new program, the Viticulture and Wine Technology program at Finger Lakes Community College, which in January got its brand new Viticulture and Wine Center. And that center has got a teaching winery, a winemaking lab, a crush pad, classroom space, teaching vineyard. So, Paul Brock, for the various listeners out there who might be thinking, I'm probably not going to work in wine, but if I wanted to take this class, can they?
Absolutely. Especially the introductory classes are right up the alley of somebody who just wants to learn more about viticulture and winemaking. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Vit 100, Intro to Wines and Vines, has a little bit of the marketing wine appreciation aspect thrown in there, too. It's roughly broken up in thirds, winemaking, viticulture, and the marketing side. But outside of that class, we don't get much of the marketing side at all. But they get to understand where they're living, because most of those people obviously are going to be commuting in from somewhere in the region. So I look at that class for my students who are going to be with me for 2 years as their kind of crash course introductory into the industry. And we go to a lot of different vineyards and wineries and start meeting people that are in the industry and really assimilating the students into what their future might hold.
I imagine like any program at any school, there are some who will get in and look around and maybe take it for a semester or two and think it's not for me. And that's the end of it, right?
Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah. We have, the attrition is pretty high. We start somewhere between 30 and 45 students every year over the past several years. And, we're only graduating between 10 and 15. A lot of that is because, some of them are still in the pipeline. They're taking the classes part-time. All of our classes are set up to accommodate somebody's schedule in that way. It's more difficult, especially with some of the internship classes, to work full-time into the program, but it can be done. And then, just for people coming off the street who just want that intro class, who, home winemaker and want to do this and learn a little bit more and maybe see if they want to go on, that's, we love that. It's great. And if they come in and they're part of our lives for a semester or two and decide it's not for them, that's fine.
So if you want to at least dip a toe in the water, they can do that how? How do they contact and get involved?
So flcc.edu has all the information on admissions. Now we are a community college. Anybody can come, and we make space. We have space in the classes. If the classes get full, we try and open up another one, or you might have to wait till the next semester. So right now we're filling up classes for the fall semester until about mid-August, so for about the next month. And if you don't sign up before then, you're going to have to wait till January. That's a long time.
So there you go. And before I bring in our next guest, who's on the line with us from the West Coast, Paul, I'm curious to know what the Finger Lakes industry, first of all, you are the industry. You own a winery. You make wine at Silver Thread. But you're close with so many people in this industry with, 125 bonded wineries now, something like that?
Something like that, something like 125, 130, yeah.
I mean, I actually thought around 100 we would reach market saturation. We haven't, which is only a sign, by the way, that if you want to get into the industry, that there appears to still be plenty of space for it. But what are your colleagues telling you about the value of getting people who come through this program now, who might go work, like Tori Franco as an assistant winemaker now and maybe eventually a lead winemaker? What are you hearing from your colleagues?
Yeah, it's working out is pretty much the bottom line when it works out. And all of our students go in as interns, so they have an opportunity to learn more. What I get most from my colleagues is them saying, hey, we need them to know this some more. So I'm reactionary. So, having that connection with the industry not just connects my students to the industry, but I also get the feedback about what more they need. So it's not just what they get. It's more, to me, it's more about what can I do to give the industry somebody that is more ready to go on day one and really complement whatever they bring to the program. Because let's face it, it's only 2 years. You can't teach them everything in 2 years, but to complement their abilities so they can be successful in whatever path they choose.
And as we said earlier, It's not UC Davis. It's not meant to supplant or take the place of UC Davis, which is the West Coast institution that has for a long time been at the lead of winemaking and viticulture programs really around the world. That's okay. But at the same time, when I talk to people in the Finger Lakes wine industry, more than one have told me, you know, this is our, you know, maybe it's a smaller version or maybe it's a not exactly the same, but how important it is to have this program here and the things it's already doing for the Finger Lakes wine industry. It just further cements the fact that this region is very, very serious about what it's doing and what it's doing for a long-term future. I want to bring in Mike Morawski, who's calling from Oregon. Adelsheim Winery. Is that right, Mike?
That is correct, sir. Yes, thank you.
All right, Mike, you are you went through the Finger Lakes Community College Viticulture and Wine Technology program when?
I started in 2012, and I graduated last summer, 2014.
And where are you now? Tell me about Adelsheim.
Adelsheim is in the Chehalem Mountains of the Willamette Valley of Oregon, so kind of the heart of wine country here in Oregon. We are a premium Pinot Noir producer. We also produce Chardonnay, a couple of strange varietals like Aux sur Oise. But we are a winery that's been around since the 70s. Medium-sized production out here, and I actually caught wind of this winery by way of a colleague in the Finger Lakes who happens to be a winemaker whose brother works out here as a cellar master. So there was a nice connection to kind of walk right into out here when I moved last year.
Very cool. I imagine making something like Aux sur Oise, which I've only heard in this country made in Michigan, but that's cool to hear that it's being made there. I'm sure in your viticulture and wine technology program, it wasn't just Riesling.
No, it certainly wasn't. And that's one great thing that Paul, I think, kept at the front of his mind was that, you know, even though the Finger Lakes is a cool to cold climate producing region, there's a lot more to winemaking than just the particular varietals that you're going to encounter in that particular region. So we were definitely well-educated and poised to jump into other varietals that are prominent in other places. And, you know, a lot of people think about Oregon as being cool and rainy all the time, but during the summers and during the growing season for grapes in particular, it is very hot and dry. So, you know, I consider this a warm to hot weather climate. And the information and the knowledge that I got through the program certainly prepared me to be able to walk right into an organization out here and pick up the reins with no trouble.
Yeah, for our listeners who may be sort of only mildly familiar with the wine industry, you probably know that Riesling is the Finger Lakes flagship grape, hardly the only thing that it does, but it does so well. And Oregon, and particularly the Willamette Valley, latched on many years ago to Pinot Noir and is making outstanding Pinot, among other things. So Mike Morawski is out at Adelsheim. Mike, your background, you're from where, and what did you sort of envision yourself getting into as a career? How did that kind of unfold for you?
Sure. Well, I'm born and raised in Rochester, lived right in the city for most of my life. And as far as a career was concerned, you know, winemaking was a second career for me. So prior to that, I had gone to RIT and gotten a bachelor's degree in the graphic arts and worked in the commercial printing industry for, about 7 or 8 years. And, you know, it was something that I really enjoyed, and I still enjoy that industry, but it got a little long in the tooth for me, even though I hadn't worked that long in the industry. And I had decided that I wanted to pursue winemaking and wine production in particular. So after graduating from RIT in 2005, I left New York and bounced around the country a little bit for the company that I was working for. And eventually in 2011, along with a friend of mine and a coworker, we decided that we were kind of sick and tired of our desk jobs, wanted something that was a little more stimulating and hands-on, and we were, you know, sampling and drinking a lot of wine at the time, and we had a thirst for knowledge. You know, we didn't really know what we were supposed to like, what we liked, what we didn't, and, you know, the idea of actually working at a vineyard or a winery became very appealing to us, so much so that we kind of gave up our careers in the printing industry to pursue winemaking full-time, first through working harvests, and eventually for me, for moving back to New York, and enrolling in Paul's program.
What was the most eye-opening for you? We've been asking the various students here, was there a moment for you when you either said, I'm not sure I can do this, or you thought, yes, this is the right industry, this is going to be my career?
Sure, I definitely had both of those moments. And, you know, I still have them to this day, to be honest. It's very physically challenging and taxing, as Devin was saying and you were saying before. But, you know, there was an eye-opening moment, actually. I had the luxury, I'll say, to visit France and pour wine regions over there and kind of see old world winemaking. And then very shortly after that, come back to the States and to California and to see winemaking in the New World. And, you know, I just fell in love with it then, particularly the physical and the manual aspect of it. You know, I think it's really rewarding to put in the long hours and to be on your feet and, you know, to really have to crank and hustle during harvest. And, you know, at the end of the day, you sit down with your crew and everybody eats a meal and you look back at all the hard work you did, and it's just a great feeling. But there were certainly moments where I thought, you know, what am I getting myself into? And there were some moments like that at FLCC. You know, I certainly don't want anybody to be under the impression that the program is a slouch in any way. You know, even though it's a two-year school, a regional school, it's a very, very challenging program. And to have to relearn a lot of chemistry, biology, math, and to delve into things like soil science and horticulture was really, really challenging for my old brain at that point. And there were moments where I thought, you know, I'm trying to juggle too much of a workload, and, you know, I don't know if I can stick this out. But it was all very, very worth it in the end, because it's given me the mobility to come out to the West Coast. And, you know, I certainly know that I could transition really to any other region in the country with the tool set that I've gotten from the program.
You're hearing Mike Murawski calling from Oregon's Adelsheim Winery. That's in the Willamette Valley there. And, you know, I don't know if Andy would agree that at the end of the long day, you look around and you think that's the satisfying part. You've been on your feet all day. Maybe Andy thinks that notion is the least inviting part of it.
Well, in fact, I did do some internships in the vineyard, and I do still work in a tiny vineyard. And I really enjoy the end of the day. I especially love finishing up when you're finished and you've put in a good, hard day's work. It's a great feeling, really.
Well, I there's a great question from a listener on Twitter. Mary Beth wants to know, what jobs does the program prepare a student for? We've been focusing on, and probably understandably so, the winemaking side, and that's an obvious one. You know, Mike Murawski, Devin Showmaker, Tori Franco, in particular, are going that route. Andy might be doing something different. But, Paul, what is the list look like for possible jobs?
So, you know, it's a viticulture and wine technology degree. It's a Associates of Applied Science. What I like to tell people is that I'm preparing them to take an assistant vineyard manager or assistant winemaking job. And I do have some assistant vineyard managers out there. None of them could be here today.
Okay.
So, you know, it's that kind of line of work. Now, most people want to be in winemaking because it's, you know, the sexiest part of the industry. Very rarely.
Or it seems to be from the outside.
It seems to be, yes. It's a outlook. Yeah, I spent 2 years trying to take any romance out of it for my students. I won't beat around the bush on that point, and they would tell you that. But it's, you know, most of my students want to be in the winemaking. We need more grape growers. We need people who have a green thumb. We need people, you know, who want to take over an older vineyard in the Finger Lakes and either recuperate that or reinvest in that and get our newer varieties growing in there, our vinifera varieties. It's, you know, we're preparing people to take those jobs. Now, what they do with that, whether they go off and start their own thing, which a lot of them ultimately would like to do, I'm not preparing anybody to start a business. I'm preparing them to grow grapes and make wine. We're the back. If you look at a restaurant, it's the best analogy. We're the back of the house. We're not the front of the house. But we were talking about this last half hour. It's the hardest part in this industry is not growing the grapes or making the wine. It's selling the product. You can work all day and all night getting a bottle on a table, but if you can't sell it, then there's no use growing that grape.
Well, I think the notion that you'd like to see more people on the viticultural side is interesting, because look, as someone who's written about this industry for years, my weakness is I think writers, and I'm included in that group, overplay the winemaker's impact, and the winemaker has a huge impact, while underplaying the grape growers and the vineyard managers. And that, again, that doesn't say that anybody is not important or whatever. I'm just saying it is probably easier for us to access winemakers, et cetera. I think one of the big reasons this region is doing really, really tremendous work is because the quality of viticulture has gone so far. Yes, the winemaking is better, but the viticulture, don't you think, Paul, is so much better?
Absolutely. You know, my probably get killed by some of my colleagues, but ultimately, a winemaker can't do the best they possibly can without being in the vineyard in some capacity and helping make those decisions and telling the vineyard manager what they want, because how the vineyard is planted impacts what the wine tastes like if you're making the wine well. So, you know, the winemaker has a hard job of translating the grapes that grew in the vineyard into a product and telling that story. But they shouldn't be focused on telling their own story. They should be focused on telling the vineyard story, because in the end, it's an agricultural product. So we should all, you know, take a step back as winemakers sometimes and probably give more credit to the vineyard and to where those grapes come from. And really, we're telling a story of a region, and there's a lot of little vineyards all over the region. And how does that tell a story? How do the wines on the table, all from that region, all expressed, you know, through these winemakers, tell a story? And, you know, it's very pleasing to see people enjoying your wine, but you've got to have, you know, some belief behind it. You know, with Devin, it's interesting. His terroir is a rooftop in Brooklyn. You know, telling that story and telling, you know, what those grapes are different than any grape we can produce in the Finger Lakes for a lot of different reasons. But, yeah, it's neat.
Well, you're hearing from Paul Brock, who is the program coordinator for Finger Lakes Community College's Viticulture and Wine Technology Program. And we've been enjoying this hour, the question of the classes that you wish you could have taken. How about winemaking? How about viticulture? And Paul has brought with him on the phone and in studio some of the graduates of this program. The program launched in 2009. Paul came on board 2010, and this past January, they opened their new Viticulture and Wine Center. And they are doing these great things, and I want to know what the program is like. So let's walk through it now. You and your students, I want you to walk me through it. So, all right, I'm kind of unsure. We're going to start the class. For first course, getting started, Paul, is what?
VIT 100. So all the classes start with the prefix, so VIT. It's Intro to Wines and Vines. So like I said before, one-third viticulture, one-third wines, one-third wine appreciation marketing.
And you don't scare them with barrel washing right away. You take them out to the vineyard right away.
And in the winery. Yep, absolutely. We want to get, it's, you know, generally it's designed to run during the fall, so they get to see ripe grapes right away. And they get to see winemaking right away. However, we do run it in January, too, which we do some other cool things.
Torre Franco, that first class, you know, again, you got to make a decision of if it's right for you. What are you learning? What was that, even just VIT 100, what was it like for you?
You definitely learn basic knowledge of how vines grow and how to make wine, produce wine. You also have the ability to learn more about the history of winemaking and where it originated and how the industry has grown throughout the world. And it kind of focuses also on the Finger Lakes wine region, so you'll learn more about that.
Okay. Past VIT 100 at 101?
VIT 105.
105, actually.
Viticulture, 105. Basic techniques of viticulture.
Okay.
So that's the one, that's your barrel washing course, and they never see a barrel. A big part of that course is pruning. And we make them go outside for 9 hours over the course of the semester, starting in late February, to prune grapevines. And tie grapevines. Actually, it's four. We're up to four classes now, so 12 hours over the course of the semester.
12 hours in February.
Well, February, March, April. We spread it out so they get to see the progression of the spring, the late winter and spring.
And if it's 6 degrees with 6 inches of snow?
We're out there.
You're out there. Okay.
Yep. And we've been out there. Actually, I think the coldest it's ever been, we're definitely below zero with one class. I was not teaching this past spring, so.
Mike Morawski, what are your recollections from VIT 105?
You know, it was a class that I really loved because we could dive in and directly manipulate the vines. And for a lot of people, I think that was their first exposure to that. Mine included, having worked at wineries before, I really hadn't gotten a chance to go out there and actually make the vines kind of do what we wanted them to do. But besides that, I will echo what was being said about the cold before. It was a very, very cold and snowy class. And I think I remember putting like between 3 and 6 hand warmers in my boots at the time just to be able to survive out there. But ultimately, it was great, and you know, it's very important that people who maybe want to focus more on the winemaking side of things actually understand the physiology and phenology of the vines. So it was a great introduction to that.
Everybody in studio was nodding at the hand warmer part there.
Oh, yeah,
I can say, Mike. I can say, all right, so that's 105. Next.
So 110 is, so when they come to us in the fall, they're here for the duration. So all the students take summer class in between their freshman and sophomore year, so to say, and that's BIT 110. And that's an internship class, so they're out doing an internship somewhere in the region or somewhere else. And we're also doing some class time to talk about what everybody's doing. And we're doing field trips and going out to some vineyards during the season and talking to vineyard managers and asking them what they're doing.
Andy, 110, that internship, what's your recollection?
I remember it being very hot that year.
We don't complain about heat, but go ahead.
No. In fact, that we used to talk about that. This is wonderful compared to pruning in the middle of winter. It's absolutely fantastic. This is the tannest I've ever been. But it was really eye-opening to be actually in the vineyard performing the processes, actually leaf pulling and shoot positioning. It was very eye-opening. It was a real experience that there's wildlife in the vineyard. and like I said before, when you're done for the day, it's such a good feeling. You just want to go fall in the lake off a dock. That part of it is very romantic, actually.
Well, for those listening and thinking about how neat it would be to sort of intern, well, Paul Brock knows just about everybody now in the Finger Lakes wine industry, but that's free labor anyway for the most part, so they're thrilled to have you. So Paul's got these connections. You've got interns out there. That's 110. I've got about 5 minutes left here. We want to get through the rest of the course, so keep walking us through it.
BIT 210. This is the one we're going to get the best feedback about, Evan. So this is the first winemaking course. They're doing this at the same time as they're doing BIT 205, which is their fall internship class. So they're in a winery doing a harvest, and they're taking this BIT 210, which is their winemaking class, where they're actually learning all the lab procedures and everything. And I'll just a side note that none of these guys went through. We now have a BIT 115 that's taken in the spring, the same time as BIT 105, where they're actually learning the lab procedures. So when they go into the fall, they don't have to learn the procedures. They can just make wine and learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're nodding their heads already.
Well, see, that's what you do, though, over time. You learn how a program needs to evolve. There you go.
So I'll let them tell you about 210.
Okay, so Tori, 210.
I can say 210 was definitely stressful. You learned a lot. Kind of balancing your internship at the winery, working harvest, and then also learning the techniques in the laboratory. So there's a lot going on. You're trying to do your best in class as well. So definitely high stress, but you learn a lot during that semester.
Mike Morawski, 210.
I can echo that as well. This is the time of year in that particular class where you have to know how to have a good work-life balance, because you will spend a lot of time working. It is challenging, but the great thing about it is the basic principles and tenets of enology that we were doing in that class are things that I personally do almost every day in my job. So it's really, really applicable to the day-to-day operations in a winery. There were times where I was very frustrated, but we all got through it and made some fun wines. So it was a good one.
The work-life balance question, I think, is relevant to just about anybody in any job, but especially in this industry. I mean, Paul is a winemaker, owns a winery, teaches. His wife, who is, believe it, smarter than Paul, and they've got kids.
True.
So all of these things going on. So I'm sure Paul can opine once in a while on work-life balance. All right, 3 minutes left. Let's keep walking through the program.
So then we're into the last semester, Enology, which is basically BIT 210 is Enology 1. Enology would be Enology 2.
Define Enology real quick.
Enology is the science of winemaking.
Yep.
So that's and 210, we take them from the grapes into a stable wine in the tank, and BIT 215, we take it from the stable wine in the tank, do all the different sensory analysis, do any manipulations we need on the finished product, getting it clear, filtering, fining, then bottling. So all of the science and technology behind that. And at the same time, they're taking BIT 200, which is basically the second viticulture class in the program. So that would be the last semester.
And Tori Franco, who's now an assistant winemaker at Lamoureux, that's your life every what we're hearing about the class is essentially your life now. Same with Mike. But when it comes to that process, these last classes, did it open your eyes to just how much goes into that final process after crush going all the way to bottling?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, you learn a lot in the laboratory and stuff, and that's kind of what I like to focus more on. We have a lot of, I'd say, high-tech equipment. Maybe a lot of the wineries, the smaller wineries in the region, don't have those capabilities, but at least we learn how to use those different methods of analysis. So it definitely sets you up for any kind of scale winery to work in.
And Andy, when you get to see some of the finished product, is it nervous for you as a student? Was there pressure because you want it to, it's got to be clear, it's got to come out?
Oh, yeah. Our first tasting of our Riesling, especially, I was so nervous. We had put so much work into it. We'd been working on it for both two semesters fully anyway. And actually over the summer before, because we worked on the vines as well. It was very, we were very nervous, and I was really proud, actually. It felt really good. We had the label designed by another student, and it was great. I couldn't wait to take it home and have my family taste.
Well, it's a great look in a very short amount of time at what Paul Brock and the program is doing there. The Viticulture and Wine Technology Program at Finger Lakes Community College that we've been enjoying the conversation on this hour. And our time just about up, Paul. So one more time, if our listeners really want to at least think about it, contact you. Think about this as a career choice. What do they do?
FLCC.edu. You can get admissions information there, and you can see a rough outline of what the degree program actually entails, including the algebra and chemistry and biology and how many credits. And then when you have questions, after you start getting maybe some former transcripts that you've had or some high school transcripts that you have college credit for, at the point after you've applied is the best time to talk to me. Or if you have questions before you apply, absolutely, you can contact me also, paul.brock@flcc.edu.
Paul Brock, congratulations, Paul. I say this very honestly. I mean, talking to people in this industry, they are really impressed with the work that you and FLCC is doing. So congratulations on that, and let's talk again. It's a fun conversation.
Sounds great, Evan. Thank you very much.
Great panel as well. Andy Hawk, good luck at Cornell, and
thank
we'll
you.
Be in touch. Thanks, Andy. Tori Franco, you can taste his work, assistant winemaker at Lamoureux Landing. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And on the line with us, Mike Morawski, calling from Oregon's Adelsheim Winery in the Willamette Valley. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Paul Brock, what are you tasting tonight? 10 seconds.
Probably Riesling.
So it's usually Riesling, and for good reason. Silver Thread is his winery. Thanks for listening on Education Friday. Thank you, John Andrus. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great weekend. This is member-supported public radio.